Have you ever been physically, now we're going to transition to something else here in a minute, physically thirsty, like dying of thirst, want something to drink? Yeah, no, maybe. Okay, all right, good. It's not a trick question. I'm not going to put nobody on the spot. So you know, when you're really thirsty and you want something to drink, how refreshing that is just to get a drink, right? Can y'all relate? You ever been thirsty? Okay. All right. Y'all, it's okay to talk and smile. I promise. Ain't nobody going to jump on you. So what about your spiritual needs? You've been thirsty there? We probably all have. I seen a hand come up back there. So there is some life in here. I seen a hand come up. So we're going to talk about today instead of what it is to be thirsty and the mistake that the flesh makes looking for that fulfillment with worldly things. And then we're going to talk about what Christ provides. So our scripture today, it's probably going to be a short sermon, but to the point. I say every time I say that, then y'all gonna be. I thought you said. So hey, it might go longer. I don't know. Anyway, turn to John. You know, John's a pretty good book. I'm kind of partial to it. I don't know what you're thinking, because my name's John, right? So y'all think that's why? A lot of it. But there's some good stuff in there. There's some good stuff in there. John chapter 7, verse 37 is where we're going to start. This is the scripture we're going to cover today. I can make mention of another one, but that's another time. John 7, 37 through 44 tells us, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." And so somebody got it right. Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus, the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. We're going to do a little housekeeping real fast. We're going to break this down. Raise your hand if you was actually really born in Oakhurst. Got a couple people born in Oakhurst. Okay? Born here. All right? Most of us that live in Oakhurst wasn't born here. Right, I was born in Huntsville, a hospital. Raised in Oakhurst, okay? Jesus, where was he born at? Bethlehem. Where was he raised at? In Galilee. Okay? So they seem to forget the whole Christmas story when they're talking here, right? Because like Scripture said, how can he be the Messiah if he was born in Galilee? He wasn't born in Galilee, but he was raised there. So I just want to clarify that a little bit. And I want to also clarify, what festival were they talking about? I'm not going to get deep into Jewish history or culture, I get it right. The Feast of the Tabernacles, what they was doing. It's a week long. I'm going to give you the Oakhurst verbiage rundown. Way back yonder, the Israelites come out of Egypt, led by Moses in the desert for 40 years. They lived in temporary housing. They had tabernacles, tents, stuff throwed up, right? Fast forward a little while longer, Jesus comes along. They're a little more civilized now, right? But the Jews still celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, which happens in the fall, because they won't forget where they come from. They wandered in the desert, and that's what the Feast of Tabernacles was. The last day, which they was talking about in Scripture, where he said the greatest of it, of the whole week, the reason is because they gave thanks to God, sacrificial prayer for everything that's happened, all the crops that they received in the spring and summer, and in remembrance of the 40 years wandering in the desert. Just a reminder of where they came from. So in theory, they're on the right track. You know, they're sitting there thinking, okay, yeah. I mean, it's okay to remember your history, where you come from. Now Jesus comes along. He happened to be there at this time. Talking about being thirsty. At face value, you think that they're physically thirsty. And they probably were, but they have water. But Jesus is trying to let them know, I'm giving you something a whole lot better. A whole lot better. And we'll get into that. Jesus is the fulfillment of the festival. Just like Moses and God, let me back up. As Moses led them in the desert, set up tents and tabernacles, God was in their presence, got them through the 40 years. You know that 40 years, if they went in a straight line, would have been 11 days because of their disobedience. And so God made them wander around a lot, just a few days longer, 40 years worth. But God was in their presence. Fast forward, Jesus comes to fulfill the scripture. And God leaves the Holy Spirit behind for us to dwell in us. God is amongst us. He's with us. God is there. So keep that perspective. So Jesus now is trying to tell them, I'll give you some water that you never go thirsty again. And I say a bunch of times in my sermons that your walk with God starts the day you make that choice to accept Him, not when you get to heaven. Now, when we get to heaven and the kingdom, that's the ultimate. That's what we're headed to. But it starts now, or starts when you accept God, your walk with Him. He's going to provide for you. You need to have that joy of being a Christian. And, you know, like I say, through the good times, the bad times, the ugly times, have that joy of being a Christian, because we are victorious because of Him. He did every bit of it on that cross. It wasn't that cross. I just look at it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to move on. I'm not even going to. Let's see here. All right. So at some point in your life, your Feast of Tabernacles, you got that call. That Holy Spirit talking to you, Jesus calling, I need a Savior. If you're a Christian, if you ain't got there yet, you need to listen for that call. If you're a Christian, He came along and Jesus is the call. Jesus stands and cries out, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So at some point in your life, a pre-Christian, you needed that Savior. It might have took you a while to realize it, but when you did, you was missing something that nothing here on this earth could fulfill, could satisfy. And I'm going to go here in a little minute of a little laundry list of things that we hear in Scripture about what the flesh looks for that's not satisfying. Maybe temporary, but not satisfying. So he calls you. Then here's a promise he gives you. Whoever believes in me, knows that word, whoever believes in me, is available to everybody. No specific culture. I don't care where you live at, what side of the tracks you live on, city, country. I don't care what you've done, how bad you think you were, or how bad you are. It doesn't matter. He calls everyone that believes in him. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within, from him. He's the source. That's what we got to realize, recognize, first of all. Jesus is the source. He came down off his throne for you and I, gave up his glory in heaven temporarily to die on that cross, a physical, brutal death for you and I. And it's there for you. And we say, like I said earlier about the baby dedication, at some point, little Trinity is personally going to have to make that choice herself of who she's going to follow and who she's going to believe in. She's on a good, she got a good start. She got a real good start. I know her family. Her family going to guide her, get her there. They made a dedication to do that. There's that empty void. Something's missing. If you're sitting out there today and you got that missing, something ain't just right. You ever had that feeling before? It just, you can't put your finger on it, but something ain't there. I'm missing something. So Galatians chapter 5, don't go there. He throws out a whole slew of things that we tend as the flesh to look for, to satisfy those needs. And like I said, temporary at best, it may do it. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery. That's a big word. I had to look it up. That means excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. Excessive. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, which means strife, contention, separation, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, self-assertion. It's all about me. I can do this. I can do this. I want this. Self-seeking, envy, drunkenness. Orgies. I was looking to make sure all the kids were out here. I didn't say it. A scripture did. It's in scripture. We're gonna read what's in scripture. Because it's there for a reason. Is there for a reason. Now, you may not have done all those things, or you may have been involved in some of those things at different times. Maybe not. That's not all inclusive. There's other things. Anything you put before God is wrong. Amen. Whatever category you want to put it in. I just threw that out there because that's what's in Scripture. I wrote that down verbatim. But whatever separates you from God, whatever you put first, that's what you got to look out for. Christ, he is the source. He is the knowledge to the thirsty mind. Knowledge. It's funny that he gives us a brain to think with, right? And some of us don't use it. I get accused of that a lot. How you attain knowledge? Getting his word. How are you going to know what Jesus wants you to do, what he calls you to do, if you don't read his scripture, read his word? You don't communicate with him. You got to have that relationship. We talk about that a lot. You got to have that relationship. Not just, I know Jesus. Do you? Do you really? Do you know Jesus? There's a difference. Love, we preached on that a few weeks ago, that special love. Love in your heart, just like Jesus. Remember, he laid the blue, he showed us the blueprint. He laid it out for us on how we should live if we call ourselves a Christian. Peace. I didn't write it down. Somewhere in Proverbs, you get that peace without understanding. You may not understand why things are going on right now in your life. Or you may not, whatever circumstance you may or may not be in, you might not ever understand it. But if you draw closer to God and Jesus, had that relationship with him, it would be an unexplainable peace that you receive, knowing that he got you. He can take care of you. He promises that. He's going to take care of you. You might not even be able to put it in words. Most likely you're not. Somebody can come at that circumstance, somebody will say, man, how you deal with this? My Lord and Savior. About all you can say. You don't understand what they're talking about unless you experienced it. And that's to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You got to have holiness with the Spirit. Remember that saying that used to be out there, what would Jesus do? That's a true statement on everything you do in life. What would Jesus do? How would you handle everything that comes up? Time we get up, the time we go to bed, we make, I don't know how many decisions we got to make. A lot of them on the, but you got to give it to Jesus. Let him guide you. He knows best, even if you don't understand it or it don't make sense to do it that way. But you'd be surprised the blessing you receive if you do it that way, like he told you. Talk about the Holy Spirit. At this moment in time, in the scripture we read, it said glorification. When he's glorified, when he ascended back to heaven, it hadn't happened yet. He's still here. The Holy Spirit wasn't here yet. Remember, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Y'all going to hear that again when I baptize this little baby here in a little bit. There's three. We call it the Trinity. They don't need the Holy Spirit at this moment in time because Jesus is there with them. He's going to lead that Holy Spirit when he ascends back to heaven. And that's what we receive. That's what guides us. Have you ever done something wrong and someone told you you did something wrong? Pricked your heart and like, man, I shouldn't have done that. That's not a coincidence. It's not a chance. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. He's going to keep you out of trouble. If you listen to him, I forgot to take my paper clip off. Sorry. So let's talk about this crowd's division. And the question to you is going to be here in a minute. Who do you say Jesus is? If I was to come to you individually and ask you, who is Jesus to you? What kind of answer are you going to give me? Have you thought about it? Some recognized him as a prophecy. Some heard Jesus and believed he was the promised prophet. Some thought he was the Messiah. That some was the few that had it right. He was the Messiah. Just like them, how many excuses do we make up not to believe who Jesus is? Just like them, they said he wasn't born in Bethlehem. Or he's from Galilee. He was. They just forgot, conveniently, that he was born in Bethlehem. Some had doubt. Some just had doubts about who he was. Now I'm going to tell you, Jesus says in Revelation, either be hot or be cold. Don't be lukewarm. He'll spit you out of his mouth. And the reason I bring that up is those three scenarios I gave you, well, some don't think he was the Messiah and some thought he was. But then you got some that wasn't sure, riding the fence. Don't be riding the fence. Don't be there. You got to erase that doubt. You either are or you're not. You're either going to follow Christ or you're not. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be in the middle. We deal with that in society a lot today. Nobody wants to make a decision. Don't cost yourself eternity in hell because you didn't want to make a decision. Don't ride that fence. Get off of it. Either follow him or don't. The crowd was split. Some wanted to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because it wasn't his time yet. Any point during this whole time, they could have arrested him. But they were prevented to because his time hadn't come. So what is your reaction? Who you say he is? What choice are you going to make? He says, let me drink. Take in an open invitation. He's willing to give it to you. It's there for you. All you got to do is take it. That's all you got to do. Now, life will mess you up. The flesh will mess you up and say, it ain't that easy. It's that easy. He couldn't have made it no simpler for you and I to receive him. You got to make that choice. Don't let the world interfere with your decision. Don't let that list of stuff I read a while ago and anything else that I didn't mention, don't let it interfere with your choice. Because let me tell you, you're either going to burn in hell for eternity or you're going to spend the rest of your eternity with him. That ain't no in between. I can't put it no plainer. Hell's real. Heaven's real. But you got to make that choice which way you want to go. Jesus should, talking about that living water, he should flow out of us at all times. How many times y'all heard me say this? You can tell me you're a Christian all you want. And I hope you are. Are you living it? I should be able, me, not just me, anybody should be able to know that you're a Christian by the way you carry yourself every day of the week, all the time. And because it flows out of us, that's naturally is going to make us share the gospel, which is a command that he told us to do, share the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is the good news. What's the good news? Jesus Christ died for your sins to keep you out of hell if you make that choice. Share the gospel. Make a choice. Talking about physical thirst, you're going to be thirsty again one day. I'm thirsty right now. I actually got water. I like to use props. I don't know where that come from. Anyway, I really don't. But you can be thirsty again, but with Jesus, you'll never be thirsty again. And I don't care what circumstance comes along your path, you will never be thirsty again. I cannot put enough emphasis on that. And so if you want some of that, you want that feeling, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now. If you hadn't, do it right now. Don't wait to me give an invitation. I ain't nothing. If Jesus can speak to you, the Holy Spirit can speak to you at any moment, anytime, anywhere. Don't wait for the perfect setting. There's no perfect setting. When you do that, let me tell you what it looks like. also in Galatians chapter 5. I got another list for you. Then I'll shut up. Love, joy, peace, forbearance. That means patience, toleration, and forgiveness. That's another big word I had to look up. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are opposite of what we read earlier about the flesh. Now we're walking with God. We're lining up with Him. We're in step. We're in tune. The Holy Spirit, the living water, is the indwelling Holy Spirit empowering believers for new life. Just so happened I preached that last week, the new life. When you accept Christ, I don't care if you're 5 years old, like this girl who's been baptized. Don't be scared because she's 5 years old. Don't doubt it. I talk to her a lot. Age has nothing to do with it. That new life starts when you accept Jesus Christ. Brother Tom Lowe will tell you he was 38 years old when he received Christ. Faith in Jesus, believing in Him, is the act of drinking this water. You want to know how to get that? Have faith that He's your Lord and Savior. Accept Him. Make that personal choice. And you're on the right track. Just like this little girl a while ago with the baby dedication. She's on the right track. Now that family and the church family, we're responsible. We're responsible. They're responsible. Got to guide that little girl to keep moving forward the way she is. Because we all know, y'all have been around a little while, some of y'all have. I'm sorry. Made me lose my train of thought. You think I give up trying to be funny. I don't know why I don't. Anyway, get back on track. We're going to open up with a song of invitation. We're not going to camp out on it all day. The Holy Spirit's working on you to make that choice. You make that choice that you need to make. Clean yourself up. Whatever you got to do, that's between you and God. And wherever you need to do it at. If you need to come here and pray, that's fine. If you need to talk to me, that's fine. I'll just lead you back to God, what I'm going to do. Lead you in that direction. Do it where you're standing at, after y'all stand. Please. It's okay to have fun, too. It's not, when you accept Christ, that don't mean all your fun's over with. You can have fun. You make that decision, what you need to make.